man looks so forlorn. Sun down till the break of dawn. Face down and his clothes on torn. Wandering this town. Way out beyond the black of stump. A woman sucked the bone dry pump. But only distance in her eyes. She slowly walked away. Love is gone, my love is dead. No fatherland, there is no bread. Everything that's good is gone. Train kept rolling on.
You are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K284AL, Holly Eva. So thank you for listening, and that was the Pogues and the Homegrown Garden Island Bluegrass Show is always a great show, and I want to thank those listeners who called in and gave them a great session of $790. We really appreciate it. And KKCR is here because of you and for you. So Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with
Kauai Canvas, professional gallery quality giclée canvas printing and digital image capture now available on Kauai. Managing print flow, stretching, and even crating. More information at 212-6971. Or online at kauaicanvas.com. Kauai Canvas. Stretch your imagination.
Hale Halawai Ohana Ohanale presents May Day by the Bay in Hanalei at Waiole Beach Park Saturday, May 10th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Featuring live music performed by groups from throughout Hawaii. Also cultural demonstrations by local practitioners. A craft fair for Kauai-made products, local fresh foods, displays of local nonprofits, and a silent auction. Open to the public. That's May Day by the Bay, Saturday, May 10th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Waiole Beach Park in Hanalei. E kono mai!
Kekane o Kauai nei, the sound of Kauai. KKCR's Spring Fun Drive starts Monday, May 5th. We invite you to join KKCR by becoming a Wave Rider. For a $150 donation, your business or organization message will be aired over 70 times during our 11-day membership drive. In addition to great exposure and supporting Kauai Community Radio, Wave Riders will also receive a 3-month link on KKCR's website. Wave Rider forms are available at kkcr.org or phone 826-7774. Get your message on the air and be part of the sound of Kauai. Ke kane o Kauai nei.
Views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. This is Felicia, and Tina B is sitting in here with me for the moment. One of my very good rock and roll friends. She's got a great show. And I am just so honored to have been on this show for 3 years and being involved with the listeners. It's really made a big difference in my life, actually totally changed my whole way of viewing everything.
It's amazing.
Are you on there okay?
I don't hear myself.
There we are.
Oh, there I am.
There you are.
Yes, it is, and you've done a heck of a job. We really appreciate you. I want you to know that.
Thank you.
I've had lots of wonderful callers saying what a good job and how busy you've been and how informative you are, and we appreciate it. It's a lot of work. This is a heavy duty thing.
To
come up here and put up with a lot of the stuff that goes on around here. I'm around.
A lot of it, you know, is going to all these different meetings.
Exactly.
But I want to really just thank the listeners because
absolutely they pay attention, don't they?
They pay attention. They call a lot of times when the show isn't happening, and we are all communicating on Facebook.
It's community, exactly.
Yes, and the community is very large.
Exactly.
It isn't just Kauai, and we have Oahu here, but we that can listen. But
everybody,
people,
that's right.
If people listen to KKCR
worldwide,
and nationwide, and even right now when I'm looking, I see a lot of Japan, a lot of people from around the state, California, New York,
a lot of Californians, because they come here a lot and they love us. They love Kauai, and they feel connected. And this internet, this World Wide Web has really brought us all together. And like you say, Facebook and the social media, people are paying attention. I mean, it's like the Super Fairy kind of started us off about we're not going to tolerate just everybody saying what we're going to do and what you're going to do. And, oh, no, we're not. Yeah.
That's right. A lot of activism happens. And,
exactly.
You know, sometimes people think KKCR starts the activism, but really KKCR simply is the megaphone.
We're just here. That's
for
right.
The community. And
when accidents happen, I mean, I've been here all week, and there's been about four or five accidents we've had. And thank goodness for this radio station, because there's no television station here. There's nobody going online saying, oh, by the way, you know, except for us. People call us and say, oh, there's an accident on Ohola. You know, stay where you are. Like, I was listening to Grover Friday night. There was an accident in Kilauea.
Yeah.
You know, and so we are really part of this community. And that's why I'm so happy and excited to be part of it. I just came in. I never wanted a show. I just liked the energy of coming up here and seeing what was going on and listening to what was happening. And that was what got me started. I'm an old 60s girl, you know, so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do want to say one of the reasons, sometimes people say, well, it's the North Shore Station, and part of the reason it is located, I mean, the main reason.
It's located here.
It's located here.
But they started it because we were isolated.
Because
exactly.
Of Hurricane Iniki, and we are isolated.
And we were isolated, and that's the reason they started KKCR. I was reading all that on the internet, and I got so mad. I just said, I'm hitchhiking in on this. Oh, North Shore people, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we started it here because we were isolated. I've lived here for 22 years. And let me tell you, like I say, now there's an accident or there's something. My husband was stuck in Honolulu. There was an accident on the bridge a few months ago. And it makes it's important.
So
you can't get a hold of the police.
Right.
You can't get a hold of the fire.
Well,
they're busy,
I mean,
you
and
know.
I do want to acknowledge the other stations. Sometimes we'll announce those things. But if we were to have an emergency, like if we had another hurricane.
Exactly.
All that kind of thing. It's up here, but in the 3 years that I've been involved in being on the air, I'm sure from before, too, because we have a lot of programmers from the other side that drive all the way up here.
Exactly right.
But I will tell you, I have been so blessed to get to know folks from all around the island that I would never have known before, and that's because they're calling in.
That's right. They're listening.
They're listening. They're sharing what, in this show, Kauai Soapbox, I inherited the show from Carlos, and this show is really designed to give concerned citizens a voice to affect change. And so in honor and integrity of the comments that people bring to the show or call me, very often I will go down there and to the west side or the south side or different places or go to meetings that people are saying, because we're really looking for primary source information.
Exactly.
Trying to make sure that we're doing the right thing.
That we're saying the right information.
Yeah, and of course anybody can make a mistake sometimes, but...
And we all do. We are human. This is live radio. And some people say things, like we try to be accurate when we announce something. We don't want to say something happened that didn't actually happen. So that's what we try to do, for sure.
So our goal for today, for this show, is $1,600. Thank you, thank you, thank you, listeners. Last week, you did the same thing. Last fun drive. We actually beat that goal. So I want to try and make that work.
You kicked it out of the park last time.
But
people, really, like I say, they appreciate you. And I hear it all week long. You're not here all week. I'm here. And they call me. And I've heard, that's what I said at the top, because I have heard such wonderful things, and people say such nice things, and I know not necessarily gets passed on to you. So I always like to pass on a compliment.
Okay, well.
And so it's always good to know that, too.
Well, thank you.
They appreciate you, and you do. You try to be fair. I've listened to you, and I heard some of the things people say, and it's really not easy to – I don't curb my tongue so well. That's why I didn't follow in your shoes, because I don't know if I could take that.
Well, we appreciate all the help that's coming. And what is going to be on the show pretty soon today, I'm expecting calls in and guests coming in for some of the big events that are happening this weekend, and I will announce them real quick right now. There is the Moms Hui event here in Princeville at the Church of the Pacific in the morning at 10 o'clock. I know I got a flyer around here. I'll grab one in a moment. They're going to be in here. It's an early day, and it is got Havani Rios and lots of really good music playing. And it's a celebration of moms because this Sunday is Mother's Day. And the motto of the Moms Hui, which is, you know, many islands, well, I want to say Walter, Mercy Riddy, his daughter-in-law, started Moms Hui. And so it's many islands, and it's what we love, we will protect. It tends to be any mom, but quite a lot of people from the Kanaka Moli community is represented in that group. And so it is moms looking after the issues that influence their kids. This is not a fundraiser because this event is basically paying for the event itself. It is a thing of coming together and sharing of music.
And who doesn't love their mother?
And who doesn't love their mother? And then... another event that will be here, I think Jose Bulatao is going to call in a little bit later in the show, and he's going to be talking about what we have put on our KKCR website, which is the Kauai Historical Society. They have a big event going on right this Saturday from 4 to 9 p.m., May 10th, and it's in front of the Historic County Building, which is where the County Council is now. And it's going to be a lot of different dance groups from different cultures. The Ni'ihauan groups are going to be there. Other Hawaiian groups, Filipino, Japanese, Okinawan, Tongan, Portuguese. So it'll be fun. And there'll be tours of the historic building and a lot of, you know, food. And it's basically a big party. And then we have the event that Kauai Rising is putting on, and that is, got to look that one up. I think that's at 6 o'clock. I should know that really easily. But the folks who are putting that event on, they are going to be here soon. And really important is the lawyer, Bob Yunke. I hope I'm saying his name right. I went and I saw him and spoke to him last Monday, or no, Saturday. He spoke on Monday and Saturday, and he's been an environmental lawyer for more than 40 years, doing a lot of really great things and really big issues like the steel mills in Pittsburgh, many others. And so after I listened to him, I was really, really impressed with, I've read this charter amendment is long. It's 18 pages. I'm thinking, 18 pages, a long amendment. But it's really covered all the issues. A lot of times whenever you try and do a change in how something is going to be regulated or controlled, and this has got a lot of opportunities to help an industry that people are afraid of prove that there's nothing to be afraid of. It helps them to be able to show and demonstrate that what they're doing is safe, and you know, it gives a little bit of encouragement that if there's some gray area in that, that they make that effort to remove the gray area. So they will be here, too. And there's going to be a lot of musicians, Sasha Mon, Liko Martin, Makana, he's coming over from Oahu. Many different speakers. Dr. Lauren Pang is really excellent. So they are going to be in the studio sometime soon here, too. And we will be learning a lot from them, and hopefully it will give people confidence, actually, on either side of the issue. People who, there's a charter amendment petition out to get this on the ballot, and so everybody can study it over the course of the election and be able to decide if it's something that they want, you know, and so it'll be up to popular vote, and so we'll see how that goes. But I really, really recommend that people come in and, come to that event. Or that's what I'm going to do anyway. I will be at the event on Saturday because I learned a lot from there. Okay. Oh, no.
Speaking of accidents.
Speaking of accidents. Ah, breaks my heart to see this. There's an accident at Kalihiwai Road. It's impacting people, especially going south. And I sure do hope everybody's okay. We've had a number of deaths recently, and
people are going too fast.
Well, you know,
and not paying attention.
I
barely get on the roads. I have a golf cart. You know me.
You know, I was thinking about this today as I was driving over here, and I was really thankful to see where Church of the Pacific, that, by the way, is where the Moms Hui is having their event, Church of the Pacific right near Pa'oku Stables, they're making a left-hand turn lane, and we've had several people die right there. And those are the kind of things that we need, and we have to thank the county for getting around to it, and the county's budget is stretched so thin, but that's the kind of thing that creates the accidents. Right there,
exactly.
There's no left-hand turn lane. It can stack up. People go around the car waiting in the left-hand turn lane, so I'm giving a driving tip right now.
And they don't see.
If there's no left-hand turn lane and you're coming through an intersection, you do not pass to the right. Because what happens is people are turning left, and they're not expecting a car passing. They're seeing somebody else, two cars. They turn and they T-bone somebody. At our Kilauea Shell Station area, that's another really problematic intersection because right as you get in there, people are going into the gas station, and so you can be turning left and thinking you're going to make it.
I've had people pull right out in front of me there, and my husband almost swerved. We swerved. If it wasn't for the fact that he swerved, they would have
hit somebody.
They would have come right at us, yeah.
Yeah. And
so they don't even pay attention. And people, just, they're not paying attention.
The point is it's not even paying. It's, the problem isn't not paying attention. I live right there. So as you turn left, cars are standing still. And usually when you're going to turn left, you're looking at your oncoming traffic, and you're assuming
that
the rest
loop,
of the traffic
yeah.
is going to be moving, and you can't see it. And so you turn, and then there's no movement, and you're stuck out in the intersection. And
exactly.
So,
but there's that loop right there, so yeah, you don't see anything.
You don't
true.
See anything. Yeah. So like when I'm looking at that intersection, I think that probably, as sad as it sounds, we might need a street light right there. We might need a street light when we have had a street light when the road's been blocked. We have really seen a much bigger, better outcome. So, anyway, it's been big, big mixes. And y'all's right in here. Y'all, I know some people have been calling in and giving some donations. So, I'd like to see the list, if you can bring me the list of who all's doing it. Because we really want to see.
Diana Labeth, thank you very much, Diana. I took her pledge for the bluegrass and for Dean. And, yes, we appreciate our listeners. We appreciate the people who love us really love us. And that's what I love about the fun drive, because you really get all the good energy that comes in during that time. So that's...
Yeah, it makes such a difference. And we were speaking that when we got this original grant, we still get a little bit of federal money, but...
Very little,
very
yeah.
little. Most of our money...
A third of it comes from... donations.
From donations. And then the other third, which is still pretty much a donation, is these underwriters that happen at
yeah,
the beginning.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. And so I want to give a big thank you out to Ray and Bhavani and Nico. So they gave us a little something. And thank you, thank you, thank you. Always makes a difference and is so helpful. So... we have those road issues that happen, and I you can also call 826-7771 and bring your story online too. And anything else that is pretty important to you for where you want to see change. And you can even actually, you know, when you call in, you can say, and we even ask, what caused you to find value in the program? Because that is, you know, the critical thing that brings people in here. And so we've been really stoked with the gifts that we've gotten so far. It looks like we're at about $15,000.
Yep.
And
that's mostly the people that started off. We have a lot of wave riders in the beginning that started us. And then, of course...
We had the silent fun drive, which was quite good this time. David Reese, we want to thank David. And Rick. Let's see, there's Chris. And Annie. We love you, Annie. And Omishar, of course. Mike and good old Mike. There we go. That's a nice list of people. And, of course, Diana, I mentioned. And there was another one right here that I... Yeah, David. Very, very good. So thank you so much for all your support of the station today. It's been a great day.
Yeah, and actually while we're speaking of that, I'm going to play one of the fun drives. They really make such a big difference. Thank you.
One of our Wave Rider lists?
One of our Wave Rider, I said fun drive, our Wave Rider lists. Yeah, they're so helpful.
Aloha, KKCR listeners. Kauai Community Radio's Spring Pledge Drive begins Friday, May 6th, and concludes on Sunday, May 15th. From now until the drive begins, if you donate to KKCR at any level, you will be entered into our early bird drawing for an opportunity to win a weekend stay and a fully furnished cabin in Kokee for up to 10 people. This will be in addition to the mahalo gifts at your donation level. To donate online, please click the donate button on the KKCR webpage at kkcr.org or return your early bird letters that have been mailed to you. Mahalo for your support of KKCR during our spring pledge drive, May 6th through the 15th. Aloha.
Mahalo to those wave riders. Very, very helpful. And this is KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K284, AL, Holly Eva. And our numbers are 826-7771. That is both if you want to make a pledge or call into the studio. Actually, if you want to make a pledge, it's easier for me right now if you call in at 826-7774. So I can have calls coming into 826-7771 that are meant to go on the air. In fact, why don't you call me and share with, you know, who has the best reasons for coming in. And, I mean, for calling in and for having the station and what has worked for you. So I appreciate the listeners. Oh, and we also have a toll-free number, 866-275-1112. So there's another call. Yay, people are calling in. I really appreciate that. And so, Tina B.
That was Paul and Mac.
Okay, then we got, like, some love from Paul and Mac.
We love them.
We love them, yes. They Paul and Mac, they're from The Garden Show, and... I have to say, you know what? Actually, an awful lot of our...
money comes from us.
Money comes from us.
Dean and I were just talking about that, because we were driving our carts home. He was taking me back because I had my cart fixed. And Richard Fernandez, who's another one of our programmers, called up and wanted to... he was loving Willie Judas show, so he wanted to pledge on Willie's show. And we were laughing, saying that most of the pledges come from the programmers ourselves, because we love the station and we love what it stands for. And it's free range radio. You get to do what you get to do here. And you know, this is a rare commodity. We have people come up here from all over the world and they can't believe that we can actually play songs we want to play, or somebody can call me from Virginia and say, play this song, and I get to play it for them. And it's just interesting and fun to be connected to the whole wide world, to say something to somebody, my friend in Virginia or Mississippi, and it's kind of an interesting situation. So we're very blessed to have this little burg here in the jungles of Kauai. So that's the way we do it, and we appreciate all the calls and all the love that you share with us on a weekly and daily basis. Thank you so much. I'm quite proud and pleased to be part of this little station in the jungles here.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's very special. I mean, I have people that live in Canada, and they say that this is, you know, they don't have this just everywhere. This is a special little thing, so we are quite lucky.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have learned so many things. Like, actually, it's changed my whole viewpoint, like from people who've called in. I know that, like, with the Public Land Development Corporation, that kind of really got at my jugular. That was sort of a blank check that got written by a few people in the legislature. Oddly, not a lot of people knew what that one was about. It took 6 million acres and shifted it of Hawaii and out into the ocean, shifted it from being basically, you know, something to be preserved, and then reset that reason for that land was to be exploited for revenue, which was gnarly. And I wasn't around for the first overthrow, but I wasn't going to stand by for the second. And we had to really push and push and push, and we got most of that repealed. What didn't really get repealed, and there are still little baby public land development corporations taking public property and turning it into, you know, something for money by the government, taking public property and turning into something for the government. That's still going on, but for them, I mean, not just for the government, but for the small group of people to set over to business interests that usually typically are very much larger than this state or this island. And it caused me to look heavier at the Agribusiness Development Corporation, and I never really paid very much attention to the GMO issue, the genetic modified organisms. It sounded okay to me from a distance, but when I looked at that, then I started to look at the Agribusiness Development Corporation, and I went and I saw a speaker named Dr. Lauren Pang, who will be speaking this Saturday. He's from the Department of Health of Maui. And that caught me first, and I really went, oh, and I paid attention to what was being said. And kind of really, really impacted me, because how much I had just thought I didn't want to look at it, and then I did look at it and learn. And I've been going and listening and finding out from the people that really do believe that they're sick. There's many other things, though, that are also making us sick. You know, whether it's electromagnetic field energy or so many different areas. I think what I've learned being in this position is how much I don't know and how much I can see from the different people. And even on the sovereignty, Hawaiian nationhood, you know, I kind of grew up where there's a lot of Native Americans, and I've had the opinion, well, if Hawaii's stolen, so is the whole United States. So is the whole...
Which it was.
And so is the whole world, you know. But so, you know, when we've seen I've looked at the documents, and even by American standards, our own political standards, we have really kind of done something that isn't right by what we say is required from our country. And for loading up, I mean, for taking another country's rights and sovereignty. So that I've shifted my awareness to where I take the people who are saying that very seriously. The big challenge is where do we move with it? What do we do? And that's not such an easy thing, but I think that what we can do is work in parallel realities. We can work with the system that we have, and we can respect the system of our host culture that is still trying to regain what was really lost and taken from them. So maximum respect to the Maoli, the Kanaka Maoli group. You are listening to KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K284AL, Hale Iwa. This is Kauai Soapbox.
KKCR's spring membership drive begins on Friday, May 6th. From now until May 6th, donate to KKCR at any level, and you'll be entered into a drawing to win a weekend stay at a fully furnished cabin in Kokee for up to 10 people. You can donate online at kkcr.org or call 826-7774. Mahalo for supporting your Kauai Community Radio.
Thank you for listening to KKCR. So 826-7774 if you want to make a donation, or 826-771 if you would like to call in and speak on air.
Please call us, or we have a toll-free number, 866-275-1112. And we want to thank so many people, Roy and David and Lise, Amazon, Michael and Paul, of course, and Mac. Thank you so much for supporting Kauai Community Radio and Felicia. Felicia's having a tough day today, so we want to make her happy. And let's have those phones ring and ring and ring, because I love her smile. And she's got a good smile. So thank you so much for keeping us busy hopping. I got a volunteer out there I walked outside and she had 5 pledge forms for me. So that's very nice. She's working hard. Thank you so much, Judy, for coming up and volunteering. That's the whole thing about Kauai Community Radio. We're all volunteers here. We all do what we can. We all try to keep a happy, positive note all the time. And that's what we got to do. We always try to keep abreast of what's going on the island, and that's what we're doing now. Kauai Soapbox is one of those open forums that people call up and say what they think, say what they want, and that's a rare thing. It's a rare, wonderful thing to be able to do that, and people
Who are some of the names of people who donated? You have a few more?
Uh-huh, Michael and Roy and David and Lise. And Paul, of course, and Mac, and Michael, I think it's Amaya.
Right on. So
yeah.
Thank you
oh,
so much.
Oh, and here come some of your guests right now.
Yes. Excellent. Excellent. So we have some really exceptional people in here. I am happy to introduce Michael Schutz from Kauai Rising and Bob Yunke, who you've done just some amazing things. And so we're going to be hearing from them. And he's the attorney who has done a lot of the authoring of this charter amendment at the request of the people. So, Michael, are you mic'd up?
Let's find out.
You yeah. are. And right. Bob, you too?
Aloha.
Aloha. And so I went to an event with you the other night, and you spoke, and you just put so much clarity on what that charter amendment is about. And I just hope that you can just kind of share that, because you put it in so crisp.
Well, I always do my best.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mean to set you up too hard, but I'd be like, oh, because I've read it, like, 3 times very thoroughly, because I'm somebody who's quite a stickler for detail, and I'm actually looking for the gotcha in something. And when we spoke and you spoke, I spent about an hour at dinner with you, and I really built a lot of confidence in me. I was feeling pretty good about it, but I'm always, you know, a little bit nervous of legislation, because having looked at so many at both the state level and the national level, and some of these bills at the national level are 1,000 pages thick, no lie, and constantly changing, and it's definitely a needle in a haystack to find that little piece. So when I saw 18 pages, I was like, and I looked at it, but what I really realized is that 18 pages is because you've really thought it through very thoroughly, and the team that brought it to your attention. But you're a part-time resident here. You come at least regularly, and you're moving here, yeah?
First came in 1966.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about you, and tell us about this amendment.
Well, I've been practicing environmental law for 42 years, and I was the counsel to the air agency in Pennsylvania, charged with responsibility for developing the legal strategies for cleaning up the steel industry, and that was a major challenge. And then from there, I moved on to Environmental Defense Fund, where I became the clean air attorney for that organization, and was involved in helping to write the Clean Air Act back in 1990 when it was last amended. And so I've had a major role in developing environmental policy around air pollution issues. That's been my primary area of expertise. And I brought some of that experience to bear in this process. This was a particular challenge. This may probably be the biggest challenge that I've ever faced because of the situation here. It's so unusual. First of all, we start off with the fact that this is one of the exposure hotspots of the planet for pesticides. We've got 16,000 acres being farmed here with GMO crops, and applications of pesticides are maximized because they're using these as testing grounds, and so they're planting up to 4 crop cycles a year. Most agricultural communities are exposed to pesticides being sprayed once or twice a year. So we not only have a number of acres under cultivation for GMOs, which is unusual, but also because these are testing sites, there's so many more applications of pesticides. And there is virtually no regulatory oversight here. There is no environmental agency on the island. There is no officer of Kauai County that has as his or her mission responsibility for protecting the environmental health of the island. All of the regulatory authority is at the state level. The Department of Agriculture has primary responsibility for regulating pesticide applications, and they virtually have no presence here. So the companies have selected Kauai for a number of reasons, and one of those reasons, of course, is the climate and the fact that they can get 4 plantings a year. But it also has something to do with the fact that there is no regulatory oversight, that they can do whatever they want to do without anybody looking over their shoulder to see whether or not the public is being harmed. And the circumstances, because they're so unique here, when EPA looks at pesticides, they're not assuming that crops are being sprayed 4 times a year or that crops are being planted 4 times a year. So the amount of exposure that EPA takes into account as something that might be considered typical in an agricultural setting is not what's happening here. This is not typical. And so we're challenged with a kind of an extreme exposure situation, especially over there on the west side, Waimea, Keakaha. Those communities are essentially being blasted with pesticides. And so what we were faced with was, how can the people here protect themselves, given that the state is not investing much effort or resources or personnel in protecting people? And after I looked at the legal arguments that were being filed by the companies in the federal lawsuit to challenge 960, the ordinance that was passed last fall, it became clear to me that we had to develop a particularly targeted legal foundation for whatever we did, and that it had to be based upon the one provision in the Hawaii Constitution that delegates specific legislative power to counties. Generally, the Hawaii Constitution says that counties are empowered to do whatever the legislature delegates to the counties to do. So, as a general matter, whatever the county can do comes from the legislature and can be taken away by the legislature. And with regard to pesticides, the legislature has not delegated any specific authority to the counties. It's been reserved exclusively to the State Department of Agriculture, which some people feel is not an agency that's really committed to protecting the public as much as it is committed to protecting other economic interests. And so what I focused in on was this other provision of the Hawaii Constitution that says counties not only have authority, but a duty to protect the environment, to protect the air and the water and the land from contamination. So we've taken that provision of the state constitution and used it as the starting point for crafting this regulatory approach. And what we've said is that the environment starts at the fence line. So while the application of the pesticides on the land where the GMOs are being grown is being regulated by the Department of Agriculture, if it's regulated at all, and we're acknowledging that the legislature has given that authority only to the Department of Agriculture, not to the county. On the other hand, anything that crosses the property line, that goes over the fence, that blows over the fence, that is washed under the fence, that ends up on adjacent land or in the air we breathe or the water we drink, then that falls into the realm of environmental protection, where the county has explicit authority in the Constitution. So we've crafted this whole regulatory approach around that constitutional provision. And we've also attempted to do some other things that are quite novel. Now, given the fact that we don't have an environmental agency on the island, we felt we had to create one. So one of the things that this does, and this, you know, a lot of people say, well, that 18 pages is pretty long. We're trying to accomplish a lot here. We're trying to actually create authority in the county to protect environmental health, which has never been used before, even though this provision has been in the state constitution since 1978. It's never been used. So we're trying to create an agency, and in this case, we're creating an administrator whose authority is to protect environmental health on the island. And part of that will involve implementing the other provisions in this charter amendment. But it also will empower that administrator to implement other provisions of state law. For example, the Air Pollution Control Act in Hawaii specifically authorizes counties to enforce the law, which is another provision that we're taking advantage of here, in that to the extent that these pesticides, once they pass over the property line, are floating in the air we breathe, those are air pollutants. And so the county actually has authority under the state air pollution law to protect the public from air pollution.
So one of the advantages of this Administrative Office of Environmental Health established here on the county is that in the past, and even with 960, that requirement has been assigned to the Office of Economic Development, which has some inherent conflicts of interest, which are pretty obvious. And it also is a response to the many people on the island, especially the west side and south side, that have had concerns and issues and called in complaints about pesticides or dust and the effects they're having, and have waited a year or 2 years or 3 years for a response, and sometimes never gotten any response. So this also provides directly an opportunity for the people here on Kauai to have somebody that will have that they can have their ear and have a response.
And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. This is Kauai Soapbox with Felicia. We have attorney Bob Yunke. Am I saying your last name right?
It's close enough.
Say it.
Yunke.
Okay, that's Yunke. that has helped to write this charter amendment. And we have Michael Schultz in here, who is from Kauai Rising, the group that has been the most closely involved in the construction of it. It's also a fun drive this week, so we are going to hear from some of our underwriters, and we will be right back. And in a little bit, I'm going to give Bob a little bit more time to explain this, and then we'll be taking some calls, you know, after the top of the hour. So with many mahalos to our underwriters that help to keep programs like this on the air.
A. Feinberg Galleries, exclusively featuring the images of award-winning photographer Aaron Feinberg, showcasing two new brilliant images at the Poipu Gallery, Lost World and Blue Agave. More information at expandingvisualreality.com.
Johnny Wickman and the gang at Poi Boy Records just made a pledge and wants you to know it feels good.
Kauai Canvas, custom fine art gallery quality canvas giclée prints and image capture. Now offering various paper options, including watercolor. KauaiCanvas.com.
The Arias Hauptmann Gallery in Hanapepe is having a giant clearance sale. 70% must go. 20 to 70% off. If you've ever wanted Arias art, now is the time. HOPMANART.com 335-0227.
Oasis on the Beach, Oceanfront Dining in Kapa'a. Open daily from 12 noon. For reservations, call 822-9332. Or oasiskauai.com.
Magic Dragon Toy and Art Supply, offering unique and creative toys for the whole family, along with a wide selection of fine art supplies. Open 9 to 6, 7 days a week at Princeville Center.
The Ohana at Barracuda Restaurant are proud to be part of a healthy community supporting and cultivating great community radio, family gardens, and a healthy environment for our keiki.
Hawaiian author Bill Fernandez invites all to the Kauai Historical Society Centennial Celebration, Saturday, May 10th, 4 to 9 p.m. on the county building lawn in Lihue.
Fresh Food and Ancient Wisdom, Dr. Basco's new book, is now available. Learn to prepare healthy, balanced meals for your dogs. 822-4229 or drbasco.com.
Aloha! Thai Elephant has great food in a fun atmosphere at Hanapepe Friday Art Night. 5 to 9, everything is fresh and organic.
If you'd like information about any of these wave riders or would like to become a wave rider, please contact KKCR at 826-7774.
And mahalo. So, anyway, carry on. Like we were talking about what's going on with this bill.
Well, one of the things that we're trying to do with this is to make up for the fact that we don't have an agency here, and we don't have expert staff, and we don't have a university with experts. We have to fill in that gap. And what we've... The way we've designed this is that the companies, if they're found, first of all, they have to pay for a monitoring system that will determine whether or not they're actually sending their toxins over the fence line. That's the first step. And if they are, then what we've written requires that they either stop using those toxins because they're contaminating the air and the water that other people breathe and drink, or they have an opportunity to come forward and demonstrate that they are actually being good neighbors, that what is crossing the fence line is not causing anyone harm. So that's a key point here.
And that was something that, to me, was really important about it, because what I understood when I read it is if what the biotech companies claim to be true is true, like let's give them the benefit of the doubt, and perhaps by following the label that there isn't drift, that there isn't a problem, then they're kind of in the clear, right? They are proving that they're a good neighbor. Now, let's say that there is drift and there is problem. They're given some time to sit there and adapt to it. And these are really strong, powerful companies that really know how to do what they set their mind to. And so if the core objective becomes making sure that they are really right within their boundaries, It seems like if anybody has the capacity to be able to pull this off, you know, companies that have this much level of resource and expertise can. And so if I understood the bill, it looked to me that basically what it was doing is it was shifting the burden of responsibility or the burden of proof onto the industry instead of the person downwind. And because there is no disclosure right now, the person downwind doesn't even know necessarily what the problem is, so they can't even really look for it. But what can happen and might be the perspective of the people who work for the industry is that maybe some of these challenges are imagined, or that maybe it's a convergence of a lot of different toxins. That's sometimes what a viewpoint is. So if the industry is right and it's not them impacting it, then they're going to be actually in good shape because they're going to be able to prove it. And there's a lot that can happen that they can do. They can put some objectives in there to really minimize their impact. So this isn't a complete killing of that industry. It's just simply a shift. And that they're the ones that it would be essentially paying for it, because that's another problem is our county is stretched. I think we're about $9 million under budget right now. And the state is under budget, and the federal government is under budget. And we're looking at industries who are successful enough that they actually make billions of dollars and they have, you know, at least seven figures in their profit margin, but oftentimes more than that. And so that there's the potential that they're going to be able to fund this and make this work. Am I accurate with that?
Yes, I think you've captured it pretty well. These are massive global companies with huge budgets, multi-billion dollar companies. Quiet Island has 65,000 people. These companies have budgets that are far bigger than Kauai Island, and we simply do not have the resources to be able to protect ourselves. And so we're asking the companies to come forward with both the resources that will be needed and to participate in a process which will be managed by the county to bring experts from around the world here to evaluate what these exposures are, what's actually happening. You know, one of the things that we hear from the folks on the west side and the doctors, for example, who testified at the county commission or county council hearings last summer, was that we're seeing a much higher incidence of certain types of birth defects and cancers on the west side than we're seeing on other parts of the island or on other islands. And so there's very strong suspicion that those kinds of adverse health effects are associated with what's coming from these fields over on that side. But we don't have any way to easily put together the evidence to link what's happening to people's health with what may be coming off the fields. So part of what we're trying to do here is to fill the information gap, first of all, by requiring a monitoring network that will surround the lands that are being managed by these companies now and measuring what's coming off the land. And then telling the companies that they either have to stop transporting their contaminants, their toxins, whatever they are, across the boundary line, or they have to stop growing, or they can come in and try to convince a panel of experts who will be assembled by the county from around the university world and other federal agencies who will be called upon to come here and evaluate the evidence to help decide what is safe.
So have you figured out what this would cost a company? Like if somebody, say, was working with 6,000 acres of cropland, and has there been any projections on how much that permit would cost? Like my understanding of the permitting fee would be that it would cover the cost of the testing, and that I'm assuming, I don't know this, that like if there's a little bit of a surplus that goes into something that accrues, in case that there is a time when there's a contested case, so that if these experts need to be pulled together to determine if something was accurately tested. I mean, how much is it going to cost? Like, what the industry right now, my guess was in this last year with 2491, it's just a guess, but that they probably spent between $300,000 and $500,000 to defeat this effort. Probably, at least if we include the effort to take Ordinance 960 to court, it's probably at least something that amount. And so if they were simply paying for their regulation, would it be more than that, less than that? You know, we look at what's the budget. I saw Jackson County, the donation just to fight a citizen initiative that's going underway right now, $750,000 was put in. That was largely Monsanto. Monsanto wasn't here, but it's another industry partner. It's kind of somewhat in the whole vertical industry chain, mm-hmm. since their primary product Roundup is used in many of these developments. So is this like overhead that's like a couple million dollars a year? Is it a couple hundred thousand dollars a year? I mean, it seems like it's probably going to be a couple hundred thousand dollars to implement having this agent, though the Ordinance 960 is basically already asked for that position and it's already been paid for it. Right, at least it's already been stuck in the budget. So
we haven't identified exact costs, but in terms of the company's budget, one of the things I did look at pretty steeply was during the 2491 process. And for each hearing day, when they brought 600 employees, the chemical companies, to each hearing, and I was just playing with numbers, and if they were making $20 an hour, including their benefits, for 600 employees, that's $12,000 an hour, and if it's an eight-hour day, then you're up to $96,000. And if you paid $10 and pay each of them, buy each of them a T-shirt, that's another $6,000.
Did you do the math? That seems like a lot. That's like $100,000 a day to bring these people in.
Exactly.
Plus the vans.
That didn't count the vans
and the catering.
And the catering for the meals for each one. And when you figure, assuming they're working at a profit, then if it costs them $96,000, they're making more than that. So the lost benefits of their labor doubles that at least. So their cost for one day was $250,000. So
let's
they
just
can make that work.
Play devil's advocate and cut that in half or
yeah,
less.
Yeah.
It's still a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. So like,
and that's just for the political organizing.
That's the political organizing. So what?
The legal fees are going to be far in excess.
What I'm looking for is a win-win. That's
right.
What I always want. Because like, as I've interfaced with the people who work in the industry, I'm sure there's some exceptions, but for the most part, I've found that they're basically good people who've dedicated a long period of their life to feeling that they are helping the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
That they, I don't believe that these people would be doing this job if they thought I'm doing a bad thing.
Right.
So I want to look for the best in everybody, and I have liked so many of the people whom I've dealt with from the industry, and so I'm trying to look at, like, well, how is this a good thing for them too? Like, I see that it would perhaps be an impetus to look at their strategy of how they're utilizing their money. They could probably take the money that they've used to fight resistance and simply do a bit of a shift. Mm-hmm. And there's probably enough of a shift that they could continue to do something that they want. And, of course, what I hope that they would do is that the design shift, the engineering shift, would be to create really healthy products versus things that would withstand really heavy chemicals. And if there was an intentional shift from this industry to grow crops that people wanted to eat and that were healthy for us, we would have this massive change very fast. So I'm
totally agree with you.
I'm holding out for that.
When we first sat down with Bob and all of us trying to come to what needed to happen here, since then we've taken some grief for not just going for a ban. And we wanted to hold that possibility that these companies can be a real resource on this island, with a simple change of intention and strategy. And so this doesn't try to ban anything. This says if you're doing what you're doing is safe, you can stay, keep all the jobs here, keep everything as it is with a healthy approach to the island and the people.
That sounds really good. We are at the top of the hour. You're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K284AL Haleiwa. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox. And in the studio, I actually have Joan Porter, who has come in quietly from Kauai Rising, Bob Yonke, and Michael Schutz. And we are going to continue this conversation after we hear from our underwriters and our wave riders. And at that point, too, we're going to be taking calls from people. So I appreciate the half hour that the listeners have given without calls. I think that I've had at least one call from somebody from the industry. And this has been a half hour when I had the industry heads in here, which I did, and I really appreciated them coming in. I held calls for an hour because I think it's really important for primary source people to be able to explain what they are bringing to the table before we take a lot of calls so that some things can be cleared up and that it you know works with maximum respect. But today we've given this a half hour, and then we're going to be taking calls after we hear from our underwriters. So that would be Bali High Realty, Anahola Stringed Instruments, Ayas Gardens, and Al Pastor Tacos.
Coldwell Banker, Bali High Realty, and Hanalei, serving Kauai since 1978, providing personalized real estate sales and rental services. Coldwell Banker, Bali High Realty, also supports KKCR and the Kauai Independent Food Bank. More information at balihigh.com or by calling 826-7244.
Anahola Stringed Instruments is proud to support KKCR. Mickey Sussman has been building Island Koa guitars, ukulele, and violins on Kauai since 1972. Time-honored designs and special orders. Prompt and complete restoration, repair, and reforestation. AnaholaStringedInstruments.com or 822-1645.
Ayas Garden, all-natural garden and greenhouse supply. In Kapa'a, down Kukui Street from the Dragon Building. Fertilizers, amendments, soil, seeds, garden and farm organic growing supplies. Open Monday through Saturday. More information at 822-7333 or visit Ayas Garden on Facebook.
Al Pastor Tacos supports KKCR across the street from the craft fair in Kapa'a by the beach. Al Pastor Tacos serves fresh grilled local fish, steak, chicken, and pork tacos, and burritos in the Al Pastor style. Also a garden salad and choices for the kids. Open every day from 11 to 4. Takeout orders welcome. Al Pastor Tacos, authentic Mexican food. 652-6953.
Happy Sweet 16, Jungle Girl. Island funk and flash in Old Koloa Town since 1998. Jewelry, folk art, housewares, accessories, and more.
A. Feinberg Galleries, exclusively featuring the images of award-winning photographer Aaron Feinberg, showcasing two new brilliant images at the Poipu Gallery, Lost World and Blue Agave. More information at expandingvisualreality.com.
YWCA celebrates women's leadership on May 31st. Congratulations to this year's honorees, Lena Olajardin, Priscilla Badug, and Nadine Nakamura. Call 245-5959 for information.
Dr. Carolyn Manka in Kapa'a provides professional, effective therapy in a warm and friendly manner. 821-9454, drcarolynmanka.com.
Princeville Center, plenty of cool new businesses. Shop, dine, relax. Live music nightly, Princeville Center.
The historic Waimea Theater will host a live performance of The Legend of Ko'olau, Sunday, May 18th, 2 p.m. Tickets, call Puni Patrick, 651-5744.
Dove presents One Night Only on Kauai, Xavier Rudd plus Paula Fuga, Sunday, June 1st, KCC Performing Arts Center. Tickets at dovepresents.com, 635-5556.
Roshani Design, each piece unique in composition and color, bringing people and gems together in balance and harmony. RoshaniDesign.com, R-O-S-H-A-N-I, design.com.
KauaiHandTherapy.com, the only certified hand therapy on Kauai with over 30 years experience, located in Lihue, 246-2716.
Heaven on Earth starts here, sowing the seeds of the evolution every single week at Hoku Foods and Saturday Market in Kilauea. If you would like information about any of these Wave Riders or would like to become a Wave Rider, please contact KKCR at 826-7774.
Folks, I'm going to make a plug for a radio station on the North Shore that some of us have the great privilege and honor to be part of. If you're a visitor.
KKCR.
Yeah, listen to it. Where do they listen to that?
At 90.9 on the North Shore, 91.9 or 92.7 in Anahola, where you can find out the surf report. If a giant tidal wave is coming to wash us all away, you can listen to the community forum, like the lively discussion we had today about the pollution of the radio waves. You could hear blues or bluegrass.
Yeah, Sunday night, you'll hear the best blues.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. Callers, 826-7771. Joan, thanks for coming in. Did you have, I haven't really called you up to the mic yet. Anything you want to share?
Well, first I'd like to say thank you for having us here, and I'm very happy that Bob Yonke is here to verbalize the charter amendment. It's a wonderful, a very thorough charter amendment, and I think Bob, your voice to it really helps people understand better how it reads and what it means.
Yeah, and Michael, last time you were on the show, we were doing a fun drive, and you made a really, both of you were, made a big difference. You did a challenge to your membership.
We did. It was fun last year. We brought some smiles to the faces here. And while it's fun, I also feel it's really important to just acknowledge how important it is, because this radio station is a gem and an incredible resource to this island. It's one of the last bastions of non-corporate influenced free voices, not only here on the island, but any place in the country. It's kind of a vanishing breed, and sometimes it's easy to forget what an incredible resource we actually have here on this island, where every voice can be heard, every opinion can be heard, and it's allowed. It's always available. It's always a resource. And I highly urge anybody out there listening to please come in here and make your presence known and your appreciation known, and reach in that wallet and find some love for this radio station. And I haven't pledged yet, so I'll put up $100. If somebody please call in and match that, or however all that stuff works. But let's go for it. Let's make the bells ring here.
Thank you so much. And I do want to say that, like, anybody who has an idea that they want to bring in, usually they call me, I try and bring it in. That's what I was saying at the early part of the show, is that I've learned so much from the listeners. And people don't have to agree with me. And my perspective has changed so deeply from people coming in that have a very different viewpoint than anything I had considered. And so it's a constant learning process for us here at the station as much as it is there. And even now, if you have a differing viewpoint, please call in. It makes the shows more interesting. We like hearing a variety of perspectives. So, Bob, you've had cases go to the U.S. Supreme Court. Is that correct? Do I have that correct?
Yes, I've been involved in cases in the Supreme Court.
And how's that gone? Success? Not success? I mean, like, you're usually on the side of the little guy.
And I usually win.
And you usually win.
And so, humbly stated.
Humbly stated. Well, can somebody unhumbly state it for him? Either one of you?
Well, what I'm aware of is stopping the pollution of the steel industry in Pittsburgh was major, and that Bob was kind of the bushwhacker out there in front when others said it couldn't be done, and then moved to the western states and the pollution bringing from the copper industry that was affecting the air and the water out there, and was successful in that. And combined with being the co-author of the Clean Air Act is pretty impressive. So it caught my attention when we first when our paths first crossed sort of synchronistically.
And this, what I kind of grasp, this is kind of a precedent-setting piece of policy making, right? It's not patterned after something else? Do I have
that
correct?
No, this is not patterned after any of the traditional approaches for regulating environmental contaminants. In the past, the approach has been the government has to invest the resources to do the studies and the research to demonstrate that some harm is occurring, that people are actually being hurt. And then there's an obligation to respond in some way to protect the public from that harm. Here, because of the limitations of the resources that are available to Kauai County, that approach is not really feasible. We don't have the resources here to invest in the epidemiologists and the toxicologists and the other kinds of experts who would be need to be brought to bear to make a case against the pesticides for what they're doing. You know, making the connection that we talked about before between all the cancers and the birth defects occurring over on the west side and the exposure to these contaminants, that's not an easy scientific connection to make. It can be made, but it takes a lot of resources. So what we're doing here is reversing that traditional regulatory model. And we're saying to the companies, you have to be good neighbors here. You have to show that you're actually not causing any harm, that you're not responsible for what's happening to the babies and to the older folks who have much more cancer than people on other parts of the island, for example.
Yes.
And so that is, in a sense, it's revolutionary. And it's requiring the companies to, in order to continue an activity that is potentially harmful, to also invest in showing that what they're doing is not harmful.
I see. That's very, very important. Michael, I had somebody text me who's a friend of yours, and he said, don't be cheap. If you become an angel donor, he'll match it. An angel donor is $365.
So. That was a friend of mine.
So you could think about that. Okay. Yeah. So I have a caller who wants to come on the air. Mm-hmm. You're on the air? Yes.
Yes, I'd like to ask your guest, what is his assessment of when the petrochemical firms, they take 960 to court in August. What is his assessment of what's going to happen in court? Does he, I don't know if that's a fair question or, you know, he if he's able to answer it, but if he studied it enough to know what would happen to 960 that's being challenged, what does he think is going to happen to that? I'll hang up and I'll listen.
Okay. Thank you so much. We'll take that answer, and then I have somebody holding with another question.
Well, I have to say that I have not specifically read the briefs that the industry has already filed, and they've got more to file. They made an initial filing just a couple of weeks ago, and I've not read those briefs. So I'm not really in the posture of evaluating their legal arguments from that perspective. I did read the brief that they submitted to the county attorney last summer, in which they attempted to convince the county that 960 was not legal. And I'm assuming that the briefs they're filing in federal court are going to be similar to that. And I used those legal arguments from last summer to try to craft the approach that we are relying upon for this charter amendment, which is based on the state constitution. So the 960 was not specifically based on this provision of the state constitution. And I think the state constitution will play a role in that case, but it's not exactly the same approach that we are taking here, which is to tie virtually everything that we're doing to that language in the state constitution so that we feel we have a much a very solid legal basis for the approach we're taking.
Okay. And we have another caller. Thank you for holding. Hello?
Hi.
Hi, you have a question.
Yes, I do, about the charter amendment and talking about experts who would be called in. Who determines who the experts are, and if the biotech companies are required to pay for various parts of this charter amendment happening, then are they part of determining who those experts are? And would they, what I'm getting at is, would that lead to them being able to buy their own experts?
If they, yes, that's a very important question, and it's one that we grappled with extensively in putting this package together, and it's a very difficult problem. The way we've structured this is that if a company asks the county for permission to continue using some of these pesticides that are crossing the fence line, they do have to pay for the county's costs of bringing the experts in. And the way we've set this up, most of the experts will be selected by the administrator that we're creating through this charter amendment, the Environmental Health Administrator. So the county will be responsible for selecting the experts. But what we have also said is that the industry who is seeking an exemption from the requirement not to allow anything across the fence line can nominate some candidate experts of their own, although the county doesn't have to choose those. They're free to put forward some names. And then we've also identified other entities like the National Academy of Environmental Medicine, the Pesticide Action Network, the National Institutes of Environmental Health, and other organizations like that, that the county must go to and ask those agencies whether or not they would be willing to nominate experts for addressing the specific issues that would have to be decided here. So that the county administrator isn't free to just go out and pick any expert he likes. He has an obligation to go to the agencies around the country, and some of them are government agencies, some of them are private, but they're all independent. They're not paid for by the chemical companies, and invite those agencies to nominate candidates who would have the kinds of expertise that we would need here. And then ultimately, the companies would pay for the fees of those experts to come in and evaluate the science.
Does that mean that there are a number of experts or just in a number of areas that would be called in to make the determination on these things?
Yes, there's likely to be a need for various kinds of experts, some related to health, some related to atmospheric transport, some related to monitoring. We don't expect any one person to have the kinds of expertise that would be needed to make these decisions, that we're going to have panels of experts, and that the county administrator would be responsible for assembling that panel and bringing them here and asking them to evaluate the evidence.
And I would presume after a time that a threshold starts to be discovered, you know, that probably the most biggest challenges would happen on the front end, and then they would realize what works, and it gets easier as time goes on.
That's possible. Another scenario could also play out, which is that in with respect to some of these pesticides, for example, there are almost two decades of evidence of what kinds of health effects are associated with exposure, like, for example, to atrazine. You know, there was atrazine found in the drinking water over at the elementary school over there on Waimea. And so that is a pesticide for which there's a body of evidence that's pretty comprehensive.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are other pesticides that are being used here that are relatively new, that don't have as much evidence,
right?
And where we may find up front, there's not a lot of evidence to answer the question, is it safe or not? And that more information will need to be collected before you can actually make a decision.
Okay. And caller, I have all my lines are hot with callers wanting to come on the air. So I, are you?
Thank you, Felicia. Okay. Thank you for your guest.
Thank you.
Thank you for the charter amendment. I appreciate it. Mahalo.
Aloha. All right. Thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. My neighbor is a big Kama'aina guy who played basketball and football at Kapaa High School, and partly because of that and because he's past 60, it's hard for him to get down on his hands and knees and pull the weeds. So what he does is he puts Roundup in his backpack, and that's what he does. And his coworker has already told him that the charter amendment will make this an illegal act. So if I were to go over and promote the charter amendment to him, can your guests provide me with some talking points?
Well, first of all, we've made it very clear that the requirement to set up a monitoring network only applies to those large commercial agricultural operations that use restricted use pesticides and that grow GMOs. So if your neighbor is not growing a GMO and is not using restricted use pesticides, which glyphosate, which is Roundup,
actually
is not
a significant volume of restricted use pesticides, yeah.
Right. Then this will not apply to him. And that's one of the things that we were very careful about. We don't think that someone who uses Roundup under their fence, around the edge of their property, is what's causing the cancers and the birth defects over in Waimea.
But my neighbor did stop using it at that request. Did that answer your question, caller?
Well, I've stopped using it, too, for my own reasons. Mm-hmm. But that we're not trying to regulate everybody who uses it in their backyard.
Okay, and then we have two more callers. Aloha, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you so much. I just wanted to ask one question. When this office is set up on Kauai, the person that's going to be head of it, could you tell me the criteria and qualifications this person would have so that we can really trust them? Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, this is something we invested a lot of effort in, trying to define the qualifications, and we're requiring that that person or the candidates for that position have at least 10 years of experience, either in terms of public health protection or environmental regulation, and that they either have a PhD or a lawyer's degree. So that the combination between the training requirement and the experience requirement will exclude people who are just, for example, your neighbors who might want to find themselves a cushy job.
Okay, and then I actually, did that answer your question? I think she's off the air.
Another thing I might mention, Felicia, uh-huh. is that we also put into this a provision for the appointment of a Citizens Advisory Council. And the Citizens Advisory Council is given a role in conducting a search for candidates for this administrator position. so that you know, the public will have input into this, and the ultimate selection of the administrator is by the county council, so that in addition to the qualifications, we've also tried to establish a process where the public will be more engaged.
So it sounds like it is really well woven into our existing system. Everyone from the mayor, the county council, and the commissions will be a part of it, plus the larger...
The mayor will not.
The mayor will not. He's not appointing anybody, not even that person in the position of doing it.
When we looked at it, there's only three possibilities. You can either have an official elected, which would wait another 2 years after this is passed, so that was not an option. The other option is to have the mayor appointed, or it is appointed by the county council with the advice of the citizens committee.
Okay, I'm sorry. And so with the county council in there, you've got seven people, so that's a lot more up for public debate. And then just about any decision that the county council makes, there's a public hearing on it. Mm-hmm. I have another caller holding. This is somebody who... I was planning on having call in. It's a little bit different topic for a moment. Uncle Jose Bulatao, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Thank you so much for calling in. And you're going to tell us a bit about the Historical Society?
Yes, thank you for this opportunity, Felicia. I am calling about an event that's going to take place this Saturday on May 10th in front of the Historical County Building. It's the observation of the Kauai Historical Society centennial event. And it's an opportunity for all of Kauai to come, and all Kauai's residents and visitors, by the way, to come and see what there is free of charge in terms of an area of entertainment. There'll be some amenities like food booths and displays. It'll start sometime at 3 o'clock in the afternoon with a tour of the county building, and then the entertainment will include people from the Hawaiian community, the Okinawan community, the Japanese, Tongans, the Filipino community, which I'm doing because I have a troupe called the Bailes de Jose, the Portuguese community, and then their headliners are Daryl and Garrett, who will be closing up the program. And we do hope that people will come and see and support the Kauai Historical Society. They have been in our midst for 100 years, and it's time to celebrate. And thank you for the time for having me make this announcement. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely going to be there. I look forward to it, and it is so fun to go. And I recommend people bring their kids. You know, a lot of times with many people, especially if it's a distance to drive,
right,
you think, you know, not that big a deal. But when you're there, you realize what an amazing, blessed place that we live in with so much diversity.
Correct.
And there are beautiful dances, and I imagine the taiko drummers will be there. And
there will be a hula halau, the bon dance dancers, and people who are entertainers are coming from all over the island. And so it's a very complete representation from people from all over the island coming together to do something with Kauai style.
Yes, and then lots of good food, too.
Yes, that's right. Now, the food will be monitored by different community organizations and will be available for sale, of course. But the event itself is free of charge.
Well, wonderful. So thank you so much, and I'm going to see you there.
Yes, you will. And thank you for giving me this opportunity again, Felicia.
Yes, yes.
Alrighty.
Aloha.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K284AL Holly Eva. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox. I have Joan Porter and Michael Schutz from Kauai Rising, the people responsible for putting together the charter amendment, which we will talk about what it means to be a charter amendment when we come back from hearing our next round of our wave riders that are supporting KKCR, the station that loves you, listener-supported radio. So call in with the pledge at 826-7774. And another thing that I want to talk about when we are done being blessed by our wave riders, is the event that's coming up this weekend. We were just hearing from Jose Bulatau about the Historical Society, and just down the road is going to be your event. So we'll get a little bit of details on that in just a moment. And people could do both if they wanted to.
Yeah, I think it's just
FNG Associates presents Reggae Star Messenger Sela, Jukebox City, The Candy Factory, in celebration of Armed Forces Day, Saturday, May 17th, at the Church of the Pacific, 755-5861.
Firelight Kauai, custom laser cutting studio and gallery, next to the fire station in Hanapepe, firelightkauai.com.
The Kauai North Shore Community Foundation partners with individuals and nonprofits to meet community needs. Help create needed facilities and programs from Haena to Anahola. Kauai North Shore Community Foundation.org.
Hui Olaka and the Koke'e Museum, connecting people with Koke'e.
Coldwell Banker, Balihai Realty, and Hanalei, personalized real estate sales and rental services on Kauai since 1978. Coldwell Banker, Balihai Realty, supports KKCR, balihai.com, or 826-7244.
Forging elite fitness on the North Shore of Kauai, Kilauea CrossFit, kilaueacrossfit.com, 652-7979.
Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, supporting KKCR from the beginning, continuing to support KKCR and encouraging others to contribute.
Paradise Music Hawaiian Music Store, located in Princeville and Coconut Marketplace Shopping Center, loves KKCR.
Attorney Lawrence McCreary, serving Kauai clients in bankruptcy and family law matters for 35 years. 246-0269 for introductory consultation.
HawaiiGaga.com, Hawaii Vacation Rental Directory and Vacation Guide. Also, the Kauai GPS Tour Guide and Audio Tour of Kauai for iPhones. HawaiiGaga.com.
If you would like information about any of these wave riders or to become a wave rider, please contact KKCR at 826-7774. Mahalo.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. And this is one of those weeks where we reach out to you lovingly, asking for your kokua. So 826-7774 if you would like to make a donation. 826-7771 if you have a question. So I think there's several different points that we haven't quite totally explored. One is the significance of a charter amendment as opposed to an ordinance like 960. And how do the two of those flow together? Does one overlap the other, support it, undermine it? How do those two initiatives work together?
Well, we feel like this amendment is the next step and builds on the wonderful accomplishments of the community brought together for 2491. 2491 requires some setbacks and some rights to disclosure, to know what's being sprayed. And this amendment will move on beyond that, requiring proof of safety. The charter amendment process is much different than the ordinance process in that it takes the choice right to the people, so it gives the opportunity to the people to decide what they feel is appropriate. So we felt like it's an opportunity to place this on the ballot to give the people the right to decide whether or not these companies should have to prove what they're doing is safe before they do it. The unique part of the charter amendment is that once the people decide, it can't be vetoed by the mayor and it can't be repealed by the county council. So the voice of the people carries some pretty significant weight and impact. And so once it goes on the ballot, the people can really make that choice for themselves. And our job, we feel, is really not so much to convince anybody, but to provide the best science and the best information available to us in the moment, in any moment, so that they can make their own educated decisions on how they want this island to proceed in the future in this issue.
And what we didn't want to do was disturb anything in Ordinance 960. So we have not, tried to take anything away from what was already accomplished by the county council. We think those were important first steps. The only thing that we are changing in 960 is the agency responsible for implementing it. 960, because there was no officer of the county responsible for protecting environmental health, the responsibility for the health study, for example, was given to the Department of Economic Development. And the
Office of Economic Development is what we call it.
Yes, Office of Economic Development. And they have no expertise. They don't have anybody who has any experience with doing a health impact study. This is totally outside of their traditional area of responsibility.
And they were claiming that profusely when the 2491
yes.
bill was underway. And when they were saying, please, 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 this is not what we do. They were owning that.
And so we've taken a page from their playbook, and in the ordinance or in the charter amendment, we would transfer responsibility for that health study from the Office of Economic Development to the new Environmental Health Administrator. So this administrator will have responsibility for all of the areas of the county that have to do with environmental health.
All right. Well, that's. I think that that's a really healthy clarification that you just made there.
Yeah. excuse me. I just would like to add, especially after hearing about the event on Saturday for the Historic Society, and when Jose was naming all of the people who will be there and all the communities,
all the different ethnic groups.
Yes, I think. I see the charter amendment and where we are right now wanting to come together, that this is such an opportunity for we, the people living on Kauai Island, to really recognize that this is a place that we want to be and a place that we have an opportunity to say, to take a stand and say, this is how we want it. And it's not, you know, we can say, I don't like what you're doing, but we don't have to fight about it. And that we can have conversation and discussion. And I think that this charter amendment points in that direction. And I love that people are going to have the opportunity to go to the ballot and make their decision and educate themselves beforehand of the need for humanity to come together, because it will show all over the world, actually. And there's other countries who are in the same situation, who are having a difficult time. And I think Kauai is a place that can be a model for the rest of the world on what can happen and how to do it in a way that is a win-win, as you say, Felicia.
And is this going to be live streamed? I don't think it would be on air live on KKCR that night, because we're in the middle of a fun drive. It might be that it can be recorded and condensed and played later, like in a slot like right now. But is it, if people don't go to the event, can they listen to it, and especially listen later?
Now, I think, Felicia, you're speaking about the event on Saturday.
The event on Saturday that we're... Bob will be speaking, and Dr. Lauren Pang. You're not going to speak?
No.
Oh, are you going to be there?
Yes.
He's going to be there.
I'm going to be there to sing.
He's going to be. Oh, he's going to be singing. Well, okay.
I'm going to be in the Sacred Earth Choir.
Are you going to have a little shirt that says, "Hey, I'm the guy," and people can come up and talk to you? Well, I'll be there, and I'll make sure people can come talk to you, because I really like it when people hear from the horse's mouth. But there are many experts and people who will be at the party and policymakers and stuff. But I'd like for people to hear it, like, actually in Jose's, the Historical Society event, many people in those ethnic groups, those part demographics, I think is the word that we would use, come from generations of plantation. All of us in the room are what we would call Malihini. We were not born here. And so, you know, it impacts those communities more, especially if they are still working in the fields.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the people who are the most impacted are the people who are working, and obviously the people who are working, you know, feel a certain level of confidence, other they wouldn't do it, you know. So, you know, we want to respect and honor where they're at, and then, you know, but so their opinion and expertise is really important. So I would hope that they would be able to hear these things so that they could truly speak to where they see things that are what they might call holes in this argument.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that will be Saturday night, 6:30 at the War Memorial Auditorium in Hui.
And then who is there? I know there's some music. Of course, I always notice music. Sachemon, Makana,
Liko Martin.
Liko Martin, and one other.
Sacred Earth Choir would be the fourth.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, you guys. I'm looking at the Sacred Earth. No, there's a lot of you guys. Are really good.
The kids from
one of the schools?
Kanui Kapono.
Uh-huh.
Kanui Kapono, sorry. Yeah, they're going to be doing a chant for us. And so it's a really good opportunity to come and hear from others about why this is important and to have some fun, actually.
I need to have a poster in front of me. Is Walter Riddy going to be here? Okay.
And Walter Riddy will be here.
Walter Riddy's going to be speaking. Dustin Barca, he's going to be speaking. He always has a passionate word to say. Gary Hooser, the county council member who put 2491 forward. Margie Maupin, she works at the hospital, KVMH. Kauai Doctors.
Clayton Kubo will be there,
Clayton
who was
Kubo.
Maybe one of the very first who ever sounded the concerns
mm-hmm.
about on the west side.
Don Heacock. It looks like the it says Vandana Shiva video, right?
Yep,
the one that she made. And it looks like a huge amount of sponsors. I have to claim guilty that I've said it already, but that I didn't really look at this issue till 2 years ago, if I'm rounding up on the time.
Mm. One of the things we want to point out is that it's a way to say thank you to so many people that have put in so much time and effort on this community around this issue, and so the event is free. So please come
okay.
and enjoy yourself.
And
your folks will
we're
come.
Not allowed to say how much something costs, even if it doesn't cost anything. But,
oh, okay. Excuse me.
All right.
Well, the folks who come to the Historical Society event can just wander on down. It's only a couple blocks away.
I know. I think I'm going to hit both parties.
Yes.
It sounds good. And I'm going to go to the Moms Hui event, too, in the morning. And so on this charter amendment, what's being out right now is a petition. And people sign the petition to say that they want this to go on the ballot. And so it would come up in November. And there is currently 5% is what needs to sign, 5% of registered voters. And my understanding is you've actually exceeded that number already.
We have exceeded it, but we want to go beyond that because when they check the voter's signatures, if there's any question about it, they'll cross it off. So we want to go for at least 3,000 to 4,000
okay.
signatures.
Yes, 3,000 to 4,000.
So.
And I found that it was very important and interesting. I think it is somewhat coincidental, if I give a little bit of a stretch there, that the County Charter Commission was looking to raise the number of signatures if people want to put something on the ballot. Right now it's 5%. An individual on that charter commission was wanting to raise it to 20%. But there's an interesting paradox there that four people, could decide that they need to quadruple the amount of people to actually participate in the democratic process. So I struggled with that a little bit. I'm sure they're going to try much harder after this. I think the majority of the charter commission, though, is not excited about limiting the rights of the people to participate. But this is also one of not many, I think, since the county has been started, I'm presuming in 1959. I don't have that factually. I don't know if counties were set up at the time that Hawaii became a state. But there's only really been a couple initiatives that have been put forth by people voted in, and then they have lost in court. Have either of you looked at that?
I attended the meeting the other night when they brought forward the proposal, and I was encouraged that a number of the members there chose not when the chairman requested that somebody move the proposal forward, no one did. So that was encouraging, and I had a couple of people come up and express their support that they didn't think it would go forward, and it doesn't affect our effort in the charter amendment for sure. So that's great.
And it's been deferred, though, right? And when's the next meeting?
May 14th is the next meeting.
At what time?
Well, the last month was at 4 o'clock, so if it's at the same time, it would be at 4 o'clock.
And what day of the week is that?
I don't know.
Okay,
May 14th.
I'll look it up in a second.
It's a Wednesday.
A Wednesday, May 14th. Okay. So, but I am pleased to see that among the two who weren't there, I know at least one, won't name names, is very much on the side of citizen empowerment. We have another caller. Thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to say two things. First of all, you're an angel in a human body.
Me?
And also, is our mayor for GMO?
Well, you know, you hear this giant pregnant pause in the room. I think the mayor wants to do the right thing. In my opinion, he could know more about this industry, given that it is such a big piece of the economy here. He's, I would say, demonstrated being supportive of the industry more than he has demonstrated, you know, governance of the community. But what is the opinion of the group?
My sense is that the mayor was affected by a number of different factors, not the least of which was that there was no agency in the county with any kind of staff expertise to implement what the county council was requiring. I think the mayor was concerned about that, and that's an issue that we're trying to fix with the appointment of a environmental health administrator through this charter amendment. Another thing that the mayor said he was relying upon was the opinion he received from the county attorney, in which the county attorney advised the mayor that he felt the industry arguments against 960 would probably prevail in court. And one of the things that I would want to bring to the mayor's attention if I had the opportunity to meet with him, is that the county attorney's opinion did not address the provision of the Hawaii state constitution that we are relying upon for this charter amendment. So despite the fact that the county attorney wrote 70-some pages about why 960 might be illegal, he never discussed the provision of the Constitution that could make it legal. And so I think the mayor was given bad advice.
Okay, and do we know if Abercrombie's for it or against it? And it would be really interesting if we could find out from all the Hawaiian islands, the people running the islands, if they're for or against it. You guys might have the answer. I don't want to take up any more of your time, but I'd be very interested in. I know Felicia knows who's calling, so.
Yes.
Anyway, you guys are doing a great job.
Okay.
I love you, Felicia.
And I'll let Joan answer that one. That's an easier one than the mayor.
I saw a video about a year ago where Abercrombie was speaking to a group of people. I think they were
Hawaii Crop Improvement Association.
Yeah. Hawaii Crop Improvement Association. And he said, you boys don't have to lobby me. I'm behind you.
Yeah. He's been unequivocally clear about his full support of this industry. And when he's talking about sustainable farming, this is in part of that vision. When he's saying he is making a difference towards economic development. It's just I'm not sure it's community-based economic development. So he's looking at the bottom line, the dollar. That's why we're looking at the Public Land Development Corporation any way he can to create some money. And I think he's very clearly looking at agribusiness as part of it. And so the people, many people are saying, but we can't eat that, and it's going to stay here, and this is more an extractive economic force than anything that supports the local area.
I think also it's important to state that when we look at economic development and we take that above the health and safety of people, something's wrong.
Well, and when you could even, if you wanted to just be hardcore economic development, if you're having erosion of land values or health or intellect or all of those things, those are, you know, a negative. That's not a net gain in your economic development. That you could even be hardcore about it and say, well, at that level, it doesn't work. But Abercrombie unequivocally is supportive. I see the mayor's position is a little bit more complex. I want to thank again Paul, Laura, Michael, Paul and Mac, Amaya, Roy, David and Lise, and this Michael in the room for supporting KKCR through Kauai Soapbox. We have one more caller, and then we will be almost finished with our show. Pete's Jazz Lounge with Mary is up next. Aloha, caller. You are on the air.
Aloha, Felicia. It's Maggie Sergio. How are you?
Good. Hi.
Hi. Well, thank you for taking my call, and I'm so happy that you're covering this because I did have an opportunity to go through the charter amendment, and one of the questions that I have for, I don't know if it's for Bob or Michael, was about the particular protections that are outlined. And I was thrilled to see that it, you know, not only called out both the, you know, the industry on the island, and in addition to that, the county of Kauai as well. It looks like you're looking to also obtain, you know, disclosure and a reduction in pesticide use from the county. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. We felt that it didn't make sense to be concerned about pesticides and to ignore the county as the second largest user of pesticides on the island.
So my question about the amendment, the way it's written, how would that apply to the state applying pesticides and the federal government?
Well, it doesn't specifically regulate the use by the state or the federal government, but what we're assuming, and you know, this may play out or may not, but what we're assuming is that if the county investigates alternatives, which is what we require in the charter amendment, we don't say to the county, you just have to stop all pesticide use overnight. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is you need to look carefully at how pesticides are being used and then see whether or not we can accomplish the same result without using toxins on our land and our water. And if we can identify alternatives that work without poisoning the land and the water, we expect that the state will pay attention to that and start to use similar practices.
So thank you, caller.
Thanks, Maggie. Nice to hear your voice.
Oh, good to hear your voice, John. So just to clarify, but if the federal government, though, Bob, wanted to come in, that would not apply to feds?
We can't – I don't want to say that. I was going to say we can't directly regulate what the federal government does. That's an overstatement. We probably could, but it would require – a lot more pages than what we've got.
Yes.
I understand that.
Thank you. I mean, we're just about at the very end of the show.
Okay. Thank you. Great hearing you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. So in just a few moments, we're going to have a few more wave riders and the county council report. So I want to thank you guys for coming on. I want to thank the listener. This will be my last show for probably 3 to 6 months, depending, because I am going to pull papers on Thursday.
Yay! All right.
Thank you for county council. I'm going to run for county council, and that is because it seems like there is so much that's so very important right now, and I really appreciate all that I've learned from everybody in these 3 years. I'm going to go out and learn more from people all around the island as I go and talk to people, and I'm always going to be open for anybody wanting to let me know what's important to you and how we can make changes. So thank you very much. So we're going to do real quick alohas from our guests, and then we're going to go to our county council report.
Well, thank you, Felicia, and thank you for putting your hat in the ring for the county council. I think that's a very wise decision.
Thank you.
And, Felicia, one of the things that I've always enjoyed about listening to your program, and I've been listening to it for years, is that you are a real good listener. You listen to the people who call in, and I think you'll make an excellent elected official for that reason.
Yay!
Amen, amen. I can say echo. Thank you for the times you've hosted us here so elegantly and thought-provokingly, and looking forward to a victory coming up in the fall here. So God bless on the journey.
Well, thank you. And I did check with the county attorney and the station. And if win or lose, I can be back on the air.
Perfect.
I just can't be on the air during that time. So it's a tough thing for me to leave because I love what we're doing here. But I'm excited about everything else. So thank you all. And thank you, listeners who donated today, for helping to support KKCR, the station that loves you.
Solar Plus Kauai. With Solar Plus, you receive a step-by-step custom alternative energy plan for your home or business. SolarPlusKauai.com or 639-7646.
Tiki and Iki, serving lunch, happy hour, dinner, and late night dining, 11:30 a.m. to midnight, 431-4242.
Harvest Market Hanalei at the Hanalei Center on Kauai's North Shore proudly supports KKCR and encourages you to do the same. Harvest Market Hanalei.
Puahina Warrior Design, located in the heart of Hanapepe Town, original Hawaiian island creations. Like us on Facebook, Puahina at Hanapepe.
Taste of Hawaii 2014, the ultimate Sunday brunch. Sunday, June 1st at Smith's Tropical Paradise. More information online at tasteofhawaii.com.
Kauai Marine and Mower urges you to add your voice to the sound of Kauai by supporting KKCR. Please call in and pledge now.
Join us at Limahuli Garden and strengthen your connection to Kauai's diverse native flora and our thriving Hawaiian culture. Kama'aina, free every Saturday.
Westside Pharmacy, serving Kauai for over 30 years, now offering compounding services, 335-5342. Westside Pharmacy, 335-5342.
Small Town Coffee happily supports free speech, good music, and community broadcasting. Thank you, KKCR.
If you would like information about any of these Wave Riders or to become a Wave Rider, please contact KKCR at 826-7774. Mahalo.
Be Kind Apiary and the Kauai Beekeepers Association encourages you to be friendly. Put away pesticide spray and grow organic. Mahalo Kauai and KKCR for giving bees a chance.
I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's the County Council report for the week of May 5th. There will be a special council meeting and a council committee meeting this week. The special meeting is at 8:45 a.m. on Wednesday and the regular meeting at 9 a.m. also on Wednesday. Both meetings will be in the council chambers in Lihue. Here's some highlights from the agendas. Purpose of the special meeting is to interview Mary Hertog for the police commission with a term ending on 12/31/2015. For the committee meeting, the planning committee has on their agenda Bill 2539, a bill amending ordinances related to the Kukui'ula workforce housing. Public hearing was held on this on 4/23/2014. Also on their agenda is Bill 2541, amending the county code relating to the public access, open space, and natural resources preservation fund. Public hearing was also held on this on the 23rd of April. The Public Works, Parks, and Recreation Committee has a request from Council Chair Fafaro for the county engineer to provide an update on the Ala Kalana Kamalka Street off-site drainage area and the efforts of the Department of Public Works to address the reported problems that occur during heavy rain. This was referred on the 27th of March. They also have two resolutions on their agenda. They're related to crosswalks, bus stops, angle parking, bicycle lanes, and intersection modifications in Lihue. The Economic Development, Sustainability, Agriculture, Food, Energy, and Intergovernmental Relations Committee has a request from Committee Chair Hoosier for the Director of Economic Development to provide a briefing on the county's initiative, current and proposed, relating to agriculture, including but not limited to any funding requirements of the project and available grants and restrictions thereto. The Finance and Economic Development, Tourism, Vista Industry, Small Business Development, Sports and Recreation Development, Other Economic Development Areas Committee has a request from Council Chair Farrell and Council Member Yukimura for the Director of Economic Development to provide a briefing on the Creative Technology Center and the fiscal year 2014-2015 requested budget appropriations. They also have in their agenda